are live with Dave and Neil from Our Haunted Lives.
Right.
Hi, guys. How you doing tonight? Guys?
Hey.
Well, I'm great.
Good. How are you?
So, what I usually do is I'll ask you a question, and you guys can answer, and you know, and then you can decide who wants to go first, or you know, because it's kind of hard when you start talking over each other.
Okay.
I think this is the first time we've had two individuals instead of one.
Okay.
I'm going to open up with my first question, which is a common question that I use for everyone because, you know, people don't know who you are or they haven't seen you before or anything like that. So, what got you interested and started in the field of paranormal?
You want me to take this first?
Neil, go ahead with this one. Yeah, go ahead with this one, Neil.
Man, it all started actually when I was in third grade. I had my first paranormal experience then, where my routine at the time was we lived on a farm. And my mom and dad were always on the farm. When I got home from school, my routine was to drop my books off and go to the farm, which is right behind our house.
Okay.
And I did this, man. And as soon as my feet hit the steps to go to the farm, I heard a woman in the house saying, "Please don't leave." And nobody was in the house. So I told my parents about this, and they kind of like, "Yeah, whatever, you know, you're just making this up, whatnot." And then a couple of years later, I had a similar thing to happen where I was actually taking a bath, and our bathroom was actually at the time made onto a screened-in porch that we had.
Okay.
And I was in the bathtub, man, and I looked over at the sink in the bathroom, and I seen the cold water faucet turn itself on and water coming out. And I stand up in the bathtub, and I'm screaming bloody murder, man. And my parents come running in there, and I told them what happened. They said, "Oh, you left the water running before you got in the bathtub." No, I did not. And so that's kind of sparked it for me, man. I wanted to really prove not only to myself that I wasn't crazy, but to everybody else too. And it's just kind of spitballed from there, man. I've been kind of going ever since. David?
Yeah, with me, it was similar. I used to be able to see orbs when I was a little kid, say until I was about 8 years old. So I used to call it seeing somebody's rainbow. I didn't really know anything about it. And so then later on in life, I lived in Phoenix and with a lot of the learning a lot about Native American culture and how they embraced some spirits and things like that. And I kind of learned a little bit more. I don't see the auras anymore, but I kind of dabbled a little bit in Phoenix, didn't really get involved with any paranormal teams or anything like that. And then up in the Seattle and Oregon area, I lived in Seattle for about a year and then Portland for about a year. I started getting more involved with it. And then it led to Neil. So very similar experiences on both sides of something that happened earlier in our lives that has led us to this point. So,
yeah.
Cool. So this question to Dave here then. So I'm going to run off of what you were saying there about the auras and everything. So you never really looked into following through with learning the tarots or any of that kind of thing to
no.
the way you're explaining it, you seem like you could possibly be a sensitive someone who could actually be a medium.
Well, it's funny you say that because during one of our investigations, and this is the one when we went outside of Charlotte, it's the first time we met one of our members, Christy, to do an investigation with her. A couple of locals gave us some information on a haunted house that was there, and we went to the house, and it was very weird. Neil, you can back me up on this. Is we were getting towards the end of the investigation, and I kept saying, "He's coming home. He's coming home. He's coming home. He's coming home soon." And I was seeing in my mind's eye a figure that was coming from the barn. Lo and behold, the guy that owns the land where the house is on, about 10 or 15 minutes later, pulled up and then kind of confronted us saying, "Hey, get out of the house." And we were like that. So it's funny. It's funny that you asked that question. And it's weird because I never really have have followed up on it. It's an interesting question. Maybe I could, but when I was younger, I was just so in sports and you know, I was a wrestler in high school and college. So I think it just kind of, you know, when you get done playing with your G.I. Joes, you just kind of leave them and let them there. Like, what stopped for me? I didn't really pursue it anymore. So
right.
Great question, well, though. That's a really good question. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, it doesn't matter how old you are or young you are. You're never too old to actually start, because once you're endowed with it, you're endowed with it. You just
gotta
learn how to get in touch with it and utilize it.
Yeah, maybe I can do that. Read up a little bit on it, and that's a really, really good thing. Thanks for the confidence builder on that.
Yeah, for real, man.
I'm a non-practicing Wiccan. I was a Wiccan for quite a time, and I started when I was 16, and so, you know, I know how it is. Once you are endowed with something and you understand it and can learn about it, you can actually utilize it. So
yeah.
So with you, Neil, is there any kind of weird stuff like that, or do you have?
Yeah,
any...
well, actually, man, when I was 18 or 19, I can't remember exactly. Excuse me. This is back in the 80s, back when I actually had hair.
And
I was in a heavy metal band at the time, man, and due to that and one of the members that was in the band with us, pretty much every one of the members got started in the satanic occult together. We stayed in that, man, for a couple of years, so our drummer died while in it, and that kind of shook us up a little bit, so we kind of strayed away from that, man. And then a few years later, I ended up becoming a preacher at a Baptist church, and no longer preaching. And so
that's,
I have
a strange path.
I know, right? Well, I have
from
the
one extreme to the next.
It's an interesting path.
And I tell people all the time, man, I know both sides now, so I'm a dangerous weapon, you know.
Yeah, I guess that would help having an understanding of both sides, doing what we do out there in the investigating the unexplained.
Yeah, it helps out a lot, man, because I've been able to help spirits cross over using my religious past. So that's been a good help to us.
Yeah. It is. So, but I mean, going from one extreme to the other, though, that's a complete 180 degree. And then now,
yeah, it is.
So, hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Ever tried the middle of the road?
Hi, Tom. Dude. Molly.
He might get it.
I tried the middle, brother, but I keep getting pulled to one side or the other.
What is Mr. Miyagi say? Either left side or right side? In the middle, squish like grape.
Yeah.
He also says something like wax on and wax off, doesn't he?
That's right. Very true. Very true.
So, I guess, what was one of the most intriguing ones that you guys have, investigations that you guys have been on?
Wow. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there was the occult house in Virginia, which I thought was really, really good. We have a mer-suicide house that we've gone to quite a bit. And there's also our last one at the Carver Cemetery, which was a really, really good one. But I'd say like evidence-wise, maybe last one that we had, we call it a blood-curdling scream. You know, Neil getting touched. Jen Sidman, who's also on our team. Her and Neil were experiencing things like a couple times they got whispers in their ears. But I think the interaction with, I'm not going to say the name, because it's a demon that is associated with Ouija boards, and it starts with a Z. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. We were kind of interacting with that in Virginia, and it was quite scary, with just the lights going on and off, Neil's cameras going on and off. It was very, very very scary for me. And then Neil, why don't you touch on the suicide house?
Okay. The murder suicide house he was talking about is in Sampson County, North Carolina. And, the husband there and dad, he shot with a 12 gauge, shot his 5-year-old daughter, his 12-year-old sister-in-law, shot his wife, and then blew his own brains out. Damn. And the way we got all this information, man, was by using different pieces of equipment as we're talking to the spirits. And the way they've come through is just mind-blowing. And this house also has the ability, the spirits have the ability to move things, you know, and to do different things to touch you and to harm you. There was one incident where I was pushed against the wall by the dad of the spirit dad. And with this part of his arm, he had my chest, yeah. He had all my chest pinned against the wall. And dude, I couldn't move. I tried. I couldn't even lift my chest off the wall. If it weren't for David being there, man, I don't know what would have happened. He grabbed my hand and pulled me off the wall. So that's scary place.
It's a scary place. I got really emotional there also. The father's name is Ed. With our dowsing board that we use with the pendulum, he came through and said that he's wanted to punch me. He's threatened me. I've seen what he looks like, and he's in a closet. We call it the closet room because there's two closets there, and it's a huge spirit. I don't know if it's a spirit or not. The energy it has is just really bad. About 8 or 9 feet. So when it was looking at me out of the closet, it seemed like it was kind of looking down and reaching out like that. It's affected. We've had a couple girls go to help us investigate. One was a medium, Kelly Hodges. She was in there. She was upset within 30 seconds. Janie Carmack, who's gone with us to investigate there, she has gone out of the house crying. The last time we were there, I was very emotional. I was crying. I wanted to punch Neil in the back of the head. We had that on video. You can see me just tense up. Yeah, you can see me tense up. And throughout the night, everybody was getting angry. Jared was getting angry. Buddy was getting angry. I was getting angry. So, yeah, it's a very, very scary house. Scary haunted.
So was this, that was the suicide house, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So, and the entity you're talking about, that was supposedly the dad?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, that almost sounds to me like it could have been a demon.
Very possible.
That's what we're thinking, because we did go the last time we were there with Kelly, I cleansed that room myself. With Sage, and afterwards they all left, and Neil and I were there for about a half an hour or more, and it felt like everything was freed. And then the last time we went back, I didn't feel anything. So, you know, what do you feel, Neil?
Yeah. When we were there this last time, man, I like David, you know, there was very little that was there. But it was just a little bit, nothing at all like what it has been, man. It's like the difference between eating a hot dog and eating a steak, you know? You still got the food, but it's just not the same.
Yeah,
it was totally different.
Well, usually it takes more than just one time through to cleanse a house with.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of worried about, because I don't know if it's just ramping up again or what it's doing.
The first time you went, you were with two other people?
Yes.
No, the first
time we went, David and I were by ourselves. I'm sorry, David.
So the first time it was just you two?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, and let me explain that. The first time we went in the daytime to do an initial walkthrough.
Okay.
And we recorded our EVPs. And when we listened to our EVPs back, we heard two distinct shotgun shots that were not audibly heard while we were there.
Okay.
But on the EVP, we could pick them up.
Yeah.
without a doubt, it was shotgun shots. And it's wild that that happened, because the next night, or the next time we went, we found out that he actually killed his family with a shotgun.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
That was weird.
So the experiences you had were when you went back with the other investigators that were with you.
Right, with the ladies, yes.
And that's when you started having all this activity of the bad energies or the dark energies messing with you.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple of times. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Neil.
No.
I was there a couple of times by myself two different times. And what's so weird is, you know, of course, you know, if you ever go to a place with people and you go back by yourself, it's an entirely different feeling.
Yes, it is.
But what I was expecting and what I got was totally different. I was expecting, because everything had been so ramped up before, mm-hmm. that it was going to be that way when I got back there by myself. But it was not. I mean, I got a little bit of action by myself, but nothing like what we had the ladies there. I think the Ed is totally, he hates women altogether. You know,
that's kind of how I was leading this, because
yeah.
Having the women with you, and the fact that Dave, you got a little frightened about it, that entity was feeding off of the fears. That entity was feeding off of you guys.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I've actually come across out doing some of my, when I was younger and before I met up with Joe, doing stuff like that. That's some of the stuff I actually came across.
The entities that,
regardless if they were spirits or demons or anything like that, they loved feeding off of the energies of people, and they did everything they could to make you fear, because that was the strongest energy that they could gain from you, is the fear.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they can grab a hold of that fear on you, man. They got you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So that now going back to the demon you were talking about, that's another thing too. You can't fear those, because when you do, you're actually giving those the energies to them, and you're allowing them to take over the situation. You always want to make sure that you're in control. And at the moment that you start to be feeling like you're not in control, leave the house, leave the room.
Yeah.
I told you that once before, man. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
That's a really, really, really great point, Mark. When we do investigate, we tend to kind of do it in bursts. We'll do it for half an hour, and then we'll back off and evaluate things, and then go back. And that's how it was in the murder-suicide house, too. It was just... When we got real emotional or in that situation where I was getting emotional, it was outside just for a break and let everything calm down and things like that. Especially with Ed, and you know, with your point also with the women, he really focused on them and he really focused on me, and it was just. It's really hard to describe when something like this happens to you. And you see something like that, and it kind of brings you back down to earth and lets you know that we got to do some battle here, and we got to try and help this little girl spirit and the other spirits, and try to let them know that he's not the biggest guy in the house, you know. And I think that's why. A lot of times when we go on, I'm a pretty big guy, man. I'm 6 feet 7 inches tall, about 250.
Holy moly!
And holy shit!
Yeah. and when we go into these investigations, I think sometimes my size has a lot to do, because I don't think Ed really felt like he was the biggest thing in that house anymore. And I think that's why he looked at me and was trying to get me scared and so emotional. So it could very well be.
Got intimidated.
Yeah.
Look back. I got a question. When you went to this house, did you guys do any like research on the place beforehand? I mean, how did you find out about it besides just somebody telling you about it?
My ex-wife's sister told us about it.
Right. And, so you didn't go and do any research and find anything in, like, local papers or anything? Or
no, sir. I don't even know what the address of the place is, honestly. I know what road it's on, but that's all. I don't know the home address.
Yeah, and I put out some feelers to some people in Sampson County, but we've never received anything back. So it's tough to do, especially with COVID being around. It's hard to get into, like, public records places and stuff like that.
Right,
so,
right. But, you know, with the power of the internet nowadays, some of that stuff that has gotten all digitalized. So, I mean, there is stuff that you would have to physically go and look the old-fashioned way. You're not gonna, you know, they don't have it all, you know, digitalized on the internet. They only go back so many years, and the rest of it you're gonna have to go to the State Historical Society or public records and look for yourself.
Yeah,
digging on things called microfiche and so on and so forth.
Oh wow, I've not heard that word in a while.
What's that?
Hey, what is that?
Oh my god!
What kind of bait
would my age there?
Damn, Joe, are you trying to date us here or what?
Yeah, we just lost half
the audience. No, you're ancient, Mark.
That's great.
Oh, man. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
the COVID thing did put a lot of stress on a lot of us for this.
Yeah, it did.
You know, to do our investigations.
Yes, we do like to do research on the places that we go to. So, you know, it's one that since it's an older house, it's really kind of avoiding a lot of the research that we're trying to get on it. And you know what? Maybe there's just no records of it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, so we can. That's kind of like what we ran into with our friend's house that we went and did earlier in the year. We did a investigation on it. It's a year ago this month that they actually bought the house. And they live up in Grafton from where we're at. And they we tried to find out history. Joe tried his damnedest to find out history.
Yeah, and I've got an investigative background. So for me, it's a little easier to find things. You know, and sift through that stuff. But yeah, it was easier to find stuff on the land and the town than it was anything about the house itself.
Yeah,
sure. That's what I kind of run into also, Joe, is you know, you can find out, especially around here with you know, Raleigh or in Goldsboro, you know, with people, you know, being here for a long time, you can find records of the land where the Native Americans on it. Was it a, you know, was there a revolutionary battle here, Civil War battle here? You know, records of the towns are pretty well kept, but
yeah,
it's just speaking of all, so
speaking of the history of the land, interesting fact is the place where I live at now has five spirits of former slaves that live here.
Oh.
Yeah, they've been
so
here.
It's part of a plantation at some point?
Well, actually, this was the land that they were given once they became free.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the place where they were at on the plantation is probably about 5 miles from here. And the weird thing about the plantation is it used to be in my family.
Wow.
Yeah, years ago it was in my family, and it was sold off to I don't know who it is now. Yeah. So, but it wasn't in my family back during the plantation time. At the time it was in my family, they used to have a wood mill behind the place, and it's since been, gone. But yeah, it's interesting that they were there on that piece of property that used to be in my family, and now they are on this property that my family lives on. So that was kind of weird.
I can see.
Well, it's kind of cool, actually.
Well, I can also see that, you know, that area, you know, of the states that you all live in, it can be such hot spots for all kinds of
things.
Yeah.
I mean,
it really is.
It's also got, you got one of the longest family feuds in history in that area, you know, not too far away from there. And then you've got, you know, the Native American history and, you know, the Civil War history, because a lot of that was fought down there in the South. And,
oh, yeah.
You
know,
yeah. Yep.
Well, not yeah, just that, too. You got to realize that the entire eastern seaboard there, that's where our original 13 colonies came from.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it's going to... history. Right. A lot of it's going to be rich in the paranormal history, because there was a lot of dark times there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is not Roanoke just off of the coast of, of one of the Carolinas there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's off of North Carolina. It's out on the in the OBX or the Outer Banks. And when you go there, you can actually they did find colony there, so you can see the earthworks and things like that. So people have been in the Carolina area since, you know, the mid 1500s.
Yep.
Yeah. So and Native Americans even longer.
There's a lot of rich history in that area.
I know.
Yes, sir.
So,
and
that'd be one of the places.
I'd want to travel that way first to do investigations outside of Wisconsin. I'd want to
come on, guys.
Then the West Coast.
Come on down.
You know?
Come on down.
Oh yeah, because that's where our.
I'd rather go east than west.
Yeah. In the East Coast, the Eastern Seaboard.
We'll welcome you.
Yeah.
And we go hunting together.
There. I have been, believe it or not, I have actually been to downtown Manhattan, New York City.
Oh my gosh.
In a street truck, making a delivery.
And he survived.
That's even worse.
Yeah, it is.
I had to make a delivery to a place on 5th and 51st.
Wow.
And they were building. Neil, what'd you do? You flipped your picture.
Yeah, I understand that one too, Tom, but.
I don't know what he did. He froze and he flipped his picture.
Oh, I think he froze.
There we go.
Oh, there he is.
Oh,
he coming back?
He's over on this side.
What's going on here? We switch sides.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
you
froze.
All
but...
of a sudden, he's muted now.
Unmute yourself.
Unmute.
Oh, that's streaming.
Type it to
sometime.
Him, Joe. Oh, now he went and... He's gone. Well, I think he'll come back here sometime.
Yeah, he'll come back.
The other one just left, so he might come back, because both of them were still there, so that might have had something to do with it.
Okay. The other one, what? There he is!
The other feed was still sitting down here where he was sideways.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
we
can hear you now.
He laid down for a nap, and then all of a sudden disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. Weird. Talk about paranormal stuff and weird stuff going on audio-wise. I don't know.
I had to take a street truck downtown Manhattan, delivered to a Louis Vuitton.
What? Delivered to Louis Vuitton.
That
there
was,
you go.
That was one of the craziest freaking nights of my life, man. They wanted it there. They wanted it there in the evening. You want to talk about a city that never fucking sleeps?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You think Las Vegas is bad? Hell no. That's a bucket compared to there. Whew. That was scary, too.
Dude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Manhattan's fun.
So what's one of the most famous places you've been to investigate?
Oh, wow. For myself, Yeah, Lincoln Academy, and for myself, way back in the day when I was in Oregon, I investigated the Shanghai tunnels. So,
wow, that must have been
They were great. Yeah, it's interesting because I was banging my head every 2 minutes because you know the pipes are hanging down. So I think I probably concussed myself, and that's all the evidence I have in my head. I think I was seeing stars and birds all the time.
I bet he'd have a hell of a time if we went down to Louisiana to the Lafayette Cemeteries and went into the crypts down
there. Oh, yeah.
So far,
Yeah, yeah. So far, like Neil was saying, was the Lincoln Academy, which is what's the town that's Neil?
The town is Gastonia.
Yeah, Gastonia. So Lincoln Academy is where a unfortunately famous murder happens in Gastonia. It was a 16-year-old girl. She was kidnapped from Atlanta, Georgia, and brought up here and brutally murdered, where something really good happened in North Carolina, the Lincoln Academy School, which was a school for young black children. And Neil, why don't you take the story from here? Because you kind of connected with it a little bit more than I did.
Okay. Like David was saying, this was at the academy where a lady started the academy for underprivileged, you know, black children, which was a good thing. But what actually happened in this murder was, like David was saying, these two guys kidnapped this young lady. Her name was Catherine. And they kidnapped her from Georgia, brought her to Gastonia, which is right next to Charlotte. And there they brutally raped her with a broken beer bottle. They did a lot of other things that I don't want to go to live because it's really gross. And they filleted her arms. I can tell you that much. They took barbed wire and tied her to a tree with barbed wire, stabbed her, and left her there to die. So I think she said she died like 6 hours later.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that tree.
Yeah, that's a lot of suffering right there.
It is, man. Yeah. And that tree where she was at has been cut down several times, and it always grows right back. And they say if you get close to the tree, you can smell rotten flesh.
Mm-hmm. Her sounds to me like possibly her energies embedded themselves in the tree.
Oh yeah, man, for real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a real heavy place. There also is a cemetery that is accompanied back in the forest that is attributed to the to school. Also, there is an old shack. There is an old shack that is still standing. It's the only original piece of property from the school that is still there. Unfortunately, it's grown over. But we did a really, really good investigation at the cemetery and caught some really good things. Caught our teammate Christy. She does the Estes theory, and when she was finished with it, it was weird because she says something and she looks over and said jump, and then she looks back this way, and then right out of her head, there comes an orb right at her camera. So it was a good catch. It was a good catch, paranormal wise.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a good spot. Yeah, it's a good spot, and it's just really heavy when you get to the place where something that horrible takes place, and you know, it's weird because it's coming back. I think it's full circle of what you're saying, Mark. Is when I kind of saw that tree, I really felt like I didn't want to go near it. You know, because I felt like I was going mm-hmm. to field something. So I think you might be something, might be onto something here. I think I'm going to have to do some research.
Yeah,
definitely. Stuff, you know? Definitely. You know? I mean, so, if you're having those kind of feelings and be able to sense stuff like that, you should really research it and sure. get into it a little bit more. I mean, sure. myself personally, I'm planning on getting back into the Wiccan part of it and start doing okay. my studies again and okay. everything. Because, I mean, Wicca, you know, people irritate me whenever I say anything about Wicca because they're like, oh, that's devil worship. It's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's devil, not.
devil worship is totally different.
Yes.
But being a Wiccan, basically you're in tune with nature itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what yeah. it all is. It has everything to do with nature and the planet and the fact that everything has a spirit and everything mm-hmm. has, you know, pretty much everything is alive. This entire planet we live sure. on is alive. That's what Wiccans
oh,
believe.
Yeah.
You know, sure. That's sure. where Gaia, the name Gaia comes from. That's the name of the Earth spirit. So,
okay.
so
yeah, it's go ahead.
No, you started. Go right ahead.
It's kind of like when people hear what Neil and I do with a lot of things, they just go, oh, you know, that's fake or something, or this is that's preposterous or something like that. So
or you're battling the ball.
Yeah, don't mess with don't. I mean, there are things that can happen, you know. But it's just when people don't understand things, they tend to demonize it or make fun of it or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, so, they kind
of
do
a lot of making fun of it around here sometimes.
Yeah,
other people it's not so like it's either they think it's really cool, want to know more, uh-huh. or they think you're just he's, that's a joke.
Thank you, full of
shit. Full of crap.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. Well,
just kind of curious now. I didn't ask you this earlier; I forgot to. But what kind of equipment do you guys actually use? I heard you talking about a board that you use with a pendulum.
Yes, it's called a Gaussman board. And if you look at it, it's kind of similar to what a Ouija board is, but where on a Ouija board you got to touch the planchette, which is touching the board. With this, you're not actually touching the board. You have a pendulum that swings over it. Mm-hmm. And the way the dowsing board works is we have a up and down, a cross like on it, which up and down is yes, side, back, left, and right is no. And we have the alphabets in a semicircle. And the way the pendulum works is when the spirits want to spell out something, you move the pendulum along and they'll make it spin in a circle clockwise around whatever letter they want to use. And that's one of the tools that we use. We're big time into using dowsing rods. That was our very first tool that we ever had was dowsing rods.
We've heard that a few times now.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Man, I love my dowsing. If I had to get rid of everything else, I would still keep my dowsing rod. That's how much I believe in them.
Well, you know what dowsing rods originally were used for, right?
Yeah, that's how I was taught.
Yeah,
so I was talking, my brother actually taught me how to do it using just a stick, the Y stick to find water.
Uh-huh.
And then he went from there to teaching me different things. And over the years, man, I never thought I'd be using dowsing rods to speak with spirits. But dude,
Yeah.
Do you know what the original dowsing rods were made from?
No,
copper.
The original dowsing rods. Whenever the settlers first came. And they were using it. Their tree of choice was the willow tree.
Oh yeah,
because the willows are actually associated more with water.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know that. I know. I've heard that it had to be a fruit tree, but I've used branches off of trees that aren't fruit and still get the same reaction.
But willow branches are some of the best ones to actually use because they are associated with water and. Hmm.
Okay.
That's the original one. So.
Yeah.
And
besides
those.
Sorry.
Go ahead, David.
No, I said besides those. Next.
Oh yeah. So we use the PSB 11 Spirit Box. We use this. We also have K2 meter. We have an IR camera that we use. We also use a couple of applications. From our phones, one is the Necrophonic and one is a portal. Christy, she has a plethora of equipment, digital recorder. We also have digital recorder. She has that REM pod. And then Jan has got, she got these new little things called ghost boxes. They have a little antenna, and if some kind of energy comes around it, then they light up this real kind of blue stuff. So we kind of run the gamut on the normal equipment that anybody can use. But the biggest tool I always say, and Neil always say, other than the dowsing rods, is your feelings also, and how you're feeling in the house. And I think that's the biggest tool.
Yep.
You gotta trust your feelings, man. Trust your gut.
Yeah.
That is the one thing. See, my parents are from the South. My parents Oklahoma and Arkansas area.
Okay.
So that was one of the things I learned when I was growing up. I learned all that stuff from what, how the Southerns teach their kids.
Yeah.
Is you gotta go with the flow and know your gut and know exactly, if something doesn't feel right, then it does, and it's not right.
Yep. Yeah. One thing that I always live by, man, and this came about as part of me being a preacher at one time, was if there's confusion mixed with it, I don't mess with it. You know, I don't like dealing with a lot of confusion. For one, you know, just speaking from a biblical standpoint, that confusion is not of God. So when it comes to messing with things that are really confusing, I try to step back from it because I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm going to regret it later. And that came by learning from experience.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't let yourself be confused. You got to be focused whenever you're doing stuff like this, because once you start becoming confused, then they can start using that, the spirits, depending on if they're benign or malevolent.
Yeah.
Can't even say it right.
For sure.
But, you know, it depends on how the spirits are, that they can start using that against you.
Yeah, they will. And they take advantage of every moment they get too, man.
Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah, they will.
That they do.
So besides that one demon, have you guys ever had any kind of encounters with other demons or like physical manifestation in front of you?
I went to Bentonville Battleground with a team that I was on before David and I met. And that's a Civil War battleground here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I was with about six other people that was on our team at the time. And myself and another guy saw an apparition of a man in all gray standing next to a tree, between a tree and a stump. He was just standing there looking at us. And at the time, we didn't have very good equipment at the time. We were just starting out, you know. And so the only thing I had was this little shitty camera that I had that was on a shitty phone that I had at the time. And I tried to capture the image, dude, but all I got was little silhouettes of the tree. So, yeah, it was definitely there, though. I seen it there, and my son and I, at the Carver Cemetery, which David mentioned earlier, we also saw a figure. But this one was like a smoky gray mist, but it was in like a human shape. And we saw that for probably about a good 10 seconds, and it just disappeared.
Well, David, what about you?
Carver Cemetery, there's a lot of things that go on there. Obviously, the murder-suicide house of seeing that, but there's also another spirit that we get in trouble with, interact with at Carver Cemetery. We call it the Joker. And the Joker has manifested itself in many different ways. Scratches on Neil's neck. You know, with the dowsing rods, it'll give us 13 different answers. And then a lot of times, you know, just the thing out of the side of your eye, and if you ever went to the cemetery, you would understand what we're saying. I mean, it's pitch black at the cemetery. It's really scary. It's very, very creepy. And when I'm there, I'm always seeing a lot of different things. And, you know, we've caught some EVPs of Neil hearing growls there. Like I said on our last video that had their blood curling scream, you know, that really freaked us out. Neil whispers and things like that. So two experiences I've had with something that one I feel is evil, like we're talking about. The second one, I don't know what he is because I don't believe anything that it says to us or anything like that, because it'll say it's good 1 minute, then it'll say it's bad, and then it'll say he's not here, then he's here, or we're not doing anything. So we haven't gotten a straight answer from that at all.
Yeah, he's a trickster spirit for sure.
Yeah, a lot of them can be tricksters like that. They can be deceiving.
Yeah,
And that's kind of what's... Yeah.
At that same place, when I was there with the team that I before David, we were there. And matter of fact, I think it was the first time we'd ever been to that cemetery, the previous team that I was with. And I was standing there, man, looking out at the grave. And through this whole investigation, we've been hearing through the spirit boxes, leave, leave, get out. And we kept saying, no, we're not. You know, and I had to be the dummy and say, I'm not leaving until you're scared of me. And that spirit, the Joker that we refer to, I could actually feel him. And it's so hard to fathom unless you were there. And I actually felt him from my back walking through me, turning around and pushing me down on the ground. I went rolling across the ground. And I popped up. I was like, what the hell just happened? You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that place, man, it has some negative stuff to it.
Yeah, now, it's a good
where
one.
You're from, being where you're from, dude, is that all you do is just investigating hauntings, or have you ever looked for Bigfoot or some of the other cryptids? Because I know that area is heavy with forests, woods, and a lot of hot spots for Bigfoot sightings. You know, and then when you go further south, there's other weird cryptids.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
I there is. About. Have you ever gone looking for that kind of stuff or checked into it?
We've contacted a couple people in Georgia that we're supposed to investigate with, but they are also Bigfoot hunters, and they're going to take us down into Tennessee, and we're actually going to do a Bigfoot search. They've said they've experienced some stuff like rocks, baseball sized rocks, you know, being thrown at them, you know, or just, you know, different things that happened during these investigations. So we'll be yeah. in the middle of Tennessee woods somewhere. Just hope I don't hear banjos.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
I know, right?
That'll scare me. That'll scare me more than anything else. I'm out of there.
The only thing, hope you don't get some entity coming up behind you going, you got a pretty mouth.
That's funny. That's funny. Out of there.
We're planning on going down to Georgia sometime next year to do that investigation also. And so, yeah, and, you know, I lived in Pacific Northwest for 7 years, so there's sightings around there all the time. So I never saw them. Yeah. I never saw them, and I can't say.
Now you guys, so they're gonna be taking you guys down by around the Appalachians then, right?
Yeah,
probably so.
Yeah, because that's where a lot of the sightings are out there.
It's gonna be good,
I couldn't help myself, by the way, Dave. I'm one of those equal opportunist pickers. Yeah. I pick on everybody equally.
It's all good. It's all good, man.
Hey, I'm thinking about it too, man, while we were up in Virginia one time, we went to this place called Route 666. And it's a long stretch of road where there are 7 bridges on it. And they say that each one of these bridges is a gateway to hell. Wow. And we made it to the third one. And we came back, and on the way, as we're crossing back across the third bridge, I don't know why this happened, but it did. A spirit spoke through me, and I still recall it just like it happened just a minute ago, man. I remember what he said. I think his name was Brian. I'm not sure. Was that right, David? Brian?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I remember him saying over and over again, you know, it was my fault. It was my fault. It was my fault. Tell Sarah I love her. It was my fault. And David or somebody was asking questions, and he was telling them that that he and his wife had gotten into an argument, and he got drunk, took off on his car, hit down that road, and he didn't realize his son was in the back seat, and he wrecked and killed both of them.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to keep saying to Sarah, tell her I love her and tell her I'm sorry. It was my fault. It was my fault. Yeah, Dale, I hear you, man. I understand there's places like that everywhere.
Yeah. Check that one out. It was a pretty good investigation. We've got the videos up of that. And the weird thing is afterwards Neil was just, he kept going in and out. So the worst thing is I had to double time it for about a mile to get the truck to get him off this road. And it was really weird because after I got him in the truck and he didn't want to get in the truck and I'm pushing him in, making sure that he's secure, as soon as we got over the first bridge, Neil was back to his normal self and just, you know, asking what happened and things like that. So that was a pretty good investigation there too. Yeah, it was a really good investigation. Well, we got growls, we've got orbs, we got everything. That road is no joke, man. It's no joke. It lives up to its numbers.
Maybe Neil should look into that too, because if the spirit was able to take him over like that, he may be as sensitive as well.
I always felt that I might be on a little bit, you know. I've never really acted on it, but I've, like David, but I've always had an inkling that, you know, it might be possible, especially given with my past, you know.
Legend has it, if you reach the seventh by midnight, you'll be transported to hell.
Well, I'm definitely not going. I don't want to.
I'm not going there, Joe. No.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't have to worry. They kicked me out. I'd try to sell ice cream.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't know if I'd want to tempt fate on that one. I mean, I'd go as far as six, but then I think I'd stop.
Turn around. I keep going. After the crap I seen.
You know, that's like some of those lords. Say here, we'll say this, like the Candyman movie. We'll say Candyman in 5 times. You know, hear some of those things you just don't want to. I mean, if I ever went to wherever that doll is, you know, Annabelle, I don't think I'd even want to touch the glass that it's behind.
No, sir, me either.
I'm not afraid of that stuff. It doesn't scare me. After all the crap that I've seen,
what might follow you home from there just by doing that.
It doesn't scare me, though. That's the thing. It doesn't scare me. When I was younger, I dated a woman, a Hispanic woman, who was a witch, and she played with the dark magics. I have actually seen face-to-face demons.
Wow.
Yeah, okay? Every time you look in the mirror.
So that kind of crap doesn't scare me. It just doesn't. I don't have that flight response. I have the stand and fight, stand my ground.
I'm that way too. Sometimes it gets me in trouble.
I have yet to get in trouble for it when it comes to the paranormal. But no, honestly, I'm the kind of person that if I'm with a group and say we're walking along like we're in a cemetery doing an investigation or something, and you can hear someone distinctively scream, I won't run away from that. I will run to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of what we did.
Because you know? I look at it this way. What if there's actually somebody there in trouble that is screaming? Why run away from it? Run to it.
Right. Yep. That's what we say all the time. Most people run away, we run too.
Besides, if it turns out to be a spirit of some sort, are they really going to be able to hurt you?
Never know.
I don't know.
Anything's possible.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I just don't have the flight response. I can't run away from things. I have to face it head on.
We didn't run when we were hearing that growling noise in the one cemetery that one night either.
No, we didn't.
No.
And we were trying to figure out where it was coming from and what it was.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and just. It's like you guys have on your page is kind of our motto too. Is we just want to find proof of the truth. You know, that's kind of our motto. So, I mean, the scream, is it scary? Absolutely. Are the growls scary? Absolutely. But I want to find out what's growling at me.
Well, see, you're in Wisconsin or wherever you might be, those growls could be a wolf or a coyote or something. Okay. And then you're going to have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
True. Very true. Yeah, very true.
You know? Believe it or not, we even have bobcats and we have
cougars, mountain lions
here in the state too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Black panthers.
Any of that kind of stuff that you hear a growl like that, you know, it could be something like that.
There's a place...
You know, you want to find out.
There's a place called what was that called?
Wildcat Mountain.
Wildcat Mountain State Park.
Okay.
Okay. And it's been known to a lot of people because people have, the locals that live right close by there, see black cats, panther-like cats.
Okay.
But we all know there is no such thing as a black panther. What it is it's that opposite of albinoism, and it usually happens in jaguars and leopards.
Okay.
And then you'll see the spots under the coats. If you see them real close, you look at one in the zoo, you'll see spots under the black coat, okay, usually, because they're black leopards most of the time.
Right.
But what they're seeing around here, we don't have leopards or anything like that.
No.
The closest thing we got to it, they're seeing, and the DNR and people like this are denying these reports.
Well, they don't believe them because
they don't believe them because they don't exist in Wisconsin.
But
but now that disease can hit everything, you know, just like albinism can hit humans, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's to say that it's not a mountain lion or a cougar? You know, because that's what it kind of looks like to these people. And most of these people are like avid hunters, you know, so they know the natural wildlife.
Yeah, they know the difference. Yeah, they know the difference. Yeah. Well,
so they're all trustworthy.
Yeah. But, you know, it goes back into, you know, when they don't want people to panic, I guess. So I don't know. So, you know.
Well, these cats are getting pretty close. I mean, one of the reports was that it was like a woman went out in their backyard and there it was in her backyard. I mean, they're getting pretty close to the residential areas. But then the wolves and coyotes and stuff, because we're moving into what used to be their homes anyways.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what happened. I spent a lot of time in Arizona. When I moved to Arizona, it was nice, little, small, and Arizona, Phoenix, and Scottsdale. Now it's nice, really big, and so with bobcats in Arizona and the coyotes and things like that, people are experiencing them every day, and it's exactly what you said. Of you know, they've lived there for hundreds of years, and we're just moving in, and now we want them to move out.
Now we're infringing on their territory.
Yeah. So they're going to come by and say hi.
You used to live down by Phoenix, suburb
of Scottsdale area there? Yeah, Scottsdale. So
how close to the Superstitious Mountains were you?
I could see them right out my window.
Kind of like my sister. My sister lives in one of the suburbs. She may even be in Scottsdale, I'm not sure. But she lives in one of the areas down there. She said that you could step out her back door and see the Superstitious Mountains right there.
Yeah, so my wife and I, we had a loft in downtown Phoenix, and we were on the 18th floor, and we had floor-to-ceiling windows, and right out the window was the Superstition Mountains. And I've actually told Neil about the Superstition Mountains, about the Lost Dutchman mine there, and about how people go to do it, but it's old Indian burial ground, and this is like really experienced like hikers and things like that, and they go into the mountains, they get lost. When they come back out, they say the whole landscape has been changed and stuff like that. So I don't mess with that mountain, man. I don't mess with anything.
There's kind of a legend that's around that mountain as well. They claim that there is a gate in there somewhere that takes you to the other side.
No way.
Wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Supposedly, if you get up in there and you get off the trail or whatever, you wind up, you can find this gate, and it supposedly will take you. It's like a I don't know if you guys have ever seen Ancient Aliens on A&E.
Sure.
Sometimes they talk about the gates of the gods.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of what this is supposed to be. It's like a gate. Of the gods, where it's just you can walk through, and you're on a different planet or a different realm or a different.
Wow.
Yeah. That is awesome. The claims, and there is also claims. Yeah. Neil froze again. And there's also claims of like you said, the Dutchman's mine up there in gold.
Yeah, Lost Veterans. Yeah, lively Lost Veterans gold mine. Yeah, yeah.
Josh Gates went looking there's... for that once.
Yeah, but he never found it.
And they didn't find it.
Nobody
found it. You know, they have the maps. A lot of people say those are even mined because the superstition had been mined a lot, and somebody said it's already been found. You know, there's the trail that goes there. There's so many theories of where it's at. I just think with all the equipment that they have for mining nowadays, they would have found it by now. So,
well, you also got to think too. We got all these satellites that go run overhead that can do the topographic scanning, and it can literally scan for minerals types.
No, wait a minute. So what's to say that Superstitious Mountains doesn't have something to screw with the equipment?
It's true.
That's a possibility too.
And, and then it always comes back to this: don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Well, I mean,
you
there's
always
so many
gotta
theories.
Have a good legend and a good story. Come on.
Well, there's so many theories around the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you do all these. When you do all the research, you find a lot of different theories, a lot of different stories, and you could open up a lot of different, you know, doorways to go with a story. You know, I've done a lot of research. We've only started doing this last year, and COVID put a kind of a crunch on our plans for this year because we had some major plans to go to some really cool places this year.
Oh, we had some really cool places to go this year, so...
What are we got coming up? You know, we've got tomorrow. We're doing an all-night investigation at Harmony Hall. That'll be tomorrow night, and that's from 8 until 7 in the morning. Harmony Hall is a huge historic place that's been around since the Revolution. Then the following weekend, we will be on the USS North Carolina with the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. Yeah, so we're going to be investigating with them. It's one of those ghost hunt weekends, and one of our team members, Christy, she's a really good friends with the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, so she invited us down for that. So that's going to be a really cool thing to be on. It's consistently listed as one of the top haunted places in North Carolina. You know, they said there's up to 10 spirits there, so that's going to be good. And then, you know... After that, I think, well, you know, who knows what's going to happen. We're going to probably take a little bit of a break after that and possibly start season 2 on our YouTube channel, you know, and get some more things, in order, you know, and I know it's a little dangerous being out there with COVID, but hopefully the ghost will have it. So knock on wood, we're doing all right so far.
I'm pretty sure the ghost won't. But with him we gotta be careful because
all right.
You know, him being a leukemia survivor. So
for sure.
We're at the top of the hour. If you guys want to stick around, I got a couple announcements.
Hang on, we're not quite done yet. So for everybody that is viewing and will view this later, where can they find you?
Oh yeah.
You can find us on YouTube at Our Haunted Live.
Just type it in on the search bar and it'll bring it up.
Yeah, be sure to like them and subscribe.
Yes,
every subscriber helps.
Great. So do you guys don't have a Facebook page?
Oh yeah, we do. You've seen that on my personal Facebook page. Off of that, we have a page included in that called Our Haunted Live, and we also got one called Ghost of North Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, another thing we want to let everybody know who's watching, if they are into paranormal investigating, make sure to help your other teams that are around your area. Neil and I really support Para Unity. We started Ghost of North Carolina, that Facebook page, out of necessity of you know, people just in the clicks and everything like that. So if somebody investigates, you know, go investigate with them if you get an invite, because you can learn so much with investigating with multiple people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We've found that some of the paranormal teams we've met are really nice, you know.
Yeah. We're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always like to get that out there to just let people know, you know, because it's basically the basis of how Neil and I met. Of like,
yeah,
this I was talking to this one team, and you know, it's like it was like I had to go through the SATs to get back into college, and I was like, not all I want to do is go look for ghosts, man. You know, I don't want to take a math test, you know. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, it was crazy. So
need the blood, you know, clot for sitting on the
wall. Yeah, so fortunately Neil and I met each other, and we've gotten this off. So work with everyone. You know, it just makes you better.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
All right, next Wednesday we're going to have Brian from the U.S. Paranormal Research Team. We met them last year when we were out investigating the witches
in Whitewater.
Whitewater. Yep.
Nice.
And tomorrow we are going to be with Christopher Kaihaus, Off the Rails, and we will be investigating the Grafton Arts Mill, right? Is that what it is?
It's the Grafton Mill and Arts Museum, I think, is what it is.
Oh,
and from Grafton, Wisconsin. So, yeah, and we're we are definitely going to try to go live.
Yes, and tomorrow the Art Mill. Yes, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Yes.
We will see you tomorrow, you and Molly and Chris.
And hopefully we'll be able to go live on that, because that's what we're going to try to do. It's one of the reasons I went on Wednesday and picked up my new toy.
So we'll see you next Wednesday. We'll see everybody next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having us on. We really